Coming up here on KNKX is a story from our weekly show Sound Effect. The theme is Island Time, and Sound Effect host Jennifer Wing can tell you more.
Islands. Some are big, some are small. What is it about these places that call to us and make us take planes and boats to get there? I have a theory. I think that for some of us, having that barrier of water, it gives us the feeling or the illusion that whatever problems we have, they'll somehow stay behind. One place where people have been escaping to for a long time is the San Juans. The San Juans are home to over 400 islands. All of the available islands in the San Juans were snatched up by homesteaders by 1919. All but one, a lonely, rocky 15-acre dot close to San Juan Island. This mound of earth became the object of one young couple's obsession. It drew them across the country. Sound Effect contributor Hannah Byrne shares the adventure of her great-grandparents.
Oh, by the way, before you start, I just happened to think, what are you thankful for today?
Well, I don't know. I'm just a little bit timid to say over the radio.
That's June and Farrar Byrne, my great-grandparents.
I'm thankful that 30 years ago I ran across the right woman. Well, here we are.
Farrar loved to sing, and when he ran out of money, he often played songs for cash.
With a plunky plunk plunk, I will sing you my junk. Perhaps it won't sound very well.
June and Farrar fell in love fast. It was spring 1919. June, charmed by Farrar's ruddy-cheeked smile and curly red hair. Farrar, drawn to June's lively eyes and fierce spirit. I asked my dad, Mark, how they went from Maryland to the West Coast. It all started, he told me, when June and Farrar rolled out a map to see where they might go.
And there was this island which to people that lived here didn't have any value because there were no beaches and no water and no soil to grow things, so nobody wanted it.
That island was the last homesteadable piece of the San Juans. It was tiny, unwanted, a lonely 15-acre dot. And June and Farrar, they definitely wanted it. June wrote,
"To go on an island and pull the ladder up after us and live, untroubled by anything. That would be heaven."
Back then, the U.S. Homestead Act allowed citizens to apply to own land. If accepted, they'd get the land for little or sometimes zero cost. It's how much of the San Juans came under ownership. June and Farrar applied for land at the end of the homesteading flurry. When the General Land Office in Seattle replied back, the news was bad. "You're too late," they said. "You missed the boat." But instead of giving up on that island dream, June and Farrar wrote back, "Keep our application, we're coming anyways." And they took off for the Northwest. The whole journey took a couple of months.
I love the green valley of the Cascade Range, out where the swift rivers flow, where wild eagles cry from the black crags high, on mountain peaks covered with snow.
Along the way, June sent letters to the land office every week. She wrote gossip from the journey, treated them like old friends. Farrar called it her direct mail campaign for an island. When they got to Seattle, June and Farrar walked into the land office. "Our name is Byrne," Farrar started, and the office erupted. They're here," people shouted. And to June and Farrar's delight, the direct mail campaign had worked. The 15-acre dot was theirs.
Out where the swift rivers flow.
The dot, it turned out, had a name, Sentinel. On a map, it looks like a tiny speck in Spuyten Channel. In a matter of months, June was sitting at the back of a rowboat, watching their tall, green lump in the ocean get closer and closer. Then, finally, they hit rocky land. June and Farrar had made it. Sentinel lived up to its reputation. Mostly trees, some grass, and a smattering of soil pockets to grow food. June promptly nicknamed it
Gumdrop Island.
And despite its shortcomings, my dad told me, June and Farrar had a way of making a rocky dot in the Salish Sea feel like something special.
They would just build a little shake shelter and gather flat sandstones and make a floor out of that. Farrar might bake bread on the fire in some kind of a Dutch oven and He just had a knack for creating this wonderful feeling.
After they homesteaded Sentinel, June and Farrar never kept still for long. For the next couple decades, they hopped from one thing to the next. They had kids. They moved to a remote island near Siberia. They traveled the U.S. in a renovated old Dodge. At one point, June hitchhiked across the country with her young son. June used to say,
I wonder why everybody doesn't do their retiring first while they have the zest for everything and settle down later on when they don't feel like doing anything but work anyhow.
Sometimes I wonder, did the adventure gene skip me? Why aren't I living in a camper, exploring the world? But then I think about something else my dad told me about his grandmother. June was strong-willed, wicked clever, and full of a kind of fierce energy that never seemed to quit.
Life was intense for her.
Intense in what way?
Well, I think her husband, Farrar, would describe her as close to the edge of sanity, could be even, but...
And that's how my great-grandparents lived out the rest of their lives, pursuing adventure and simple pleasures with relentless intensity. Eventually, June wrote a book about their experiences. It's called Living High. And Farrar, well, he kept on singing.
I can't forget that summer day when from my home I went away.
As far as Gumdrop Island goes, June and Farrar left after about 5 years. Today, it belongs to the Nature Conservancy, returned to its natural state. A lonely little dot poking out from the sea.
A waving in the breeze. I said goodbye to Pa and Ma and left my home in Arkansas. Since then, I've been most everywhere. A working here, a working there. I do not hope to wealthy be. The worthwhile things of life are free. I have not set the world on fire. And when I'm old, I can't retire. But when I've grown too old to toil, I'll go back to my native soil. My pa and ma have gone away to where we all must go someday. There'll be no one to welcome me, but just the same I long to be back in those hills that gave me birth and lay me down upon the earth. Returned at last no more to roam to my dear Ozark Mountain home.
Thank you, lover. That was very good.
Oh, good.